for whatever you have need of today. He's here. He already covered it all on the cross. Hallelujah. He paid for it. It's already done. He's more than enough. Amen. I was thinking, some of us never feel like we're enough. But because he's more than enough, that makes us enough. All of our imperfections, our brokenness, our bruised places, our mess ups, our mistakes, the sin, the things that we do that we don't want to do, and things we're trying to do that we can't seem to reach, and we feel like we're not enough. That's when we say, okay, but I'm enough because you're more than enough. And we step into his forgiveness today. We step into the cross, to the blood, to his love, because he'll cover it all. Don't stay the way you are. We just work on it every day, don't we? Hallelujah. I'm so happy to be here today. Oh, you're my favorites. You can be seated. I met Pastor Calvin Jean in the early 2000s in Connecticut on a campgrounds, and we were ministering there on that campgrounds, and I'm always looking for something to do, you know, because you want to live a balanced life. And so to keep me in balance, you know, a little deep sea fishing trip wouldn't hurt. And so I got one together, and they allowed me six people, and I could only find three people that wanted to go. That gives you a little more room on the boat. Anyway, but I asked Brother Gene. I did not know him. So I did not know that that's what he likes to do. And I said, would you want to take tomorrow during the day and go deep sea fishing with me and these other brothers and sisters? And he said, I would. And we got permission from those that were in authority. And we went out, and Brother Gene caught massive amounts of flounder, and so did I, and sea bass, I don't know what all, but what a memory. God always brings people together all different ways. And so I was invited to come to minister for the first time over, of course, in the old sanctuary. Some of you I've known for over 20 years. And I've gotten to pray with your children, your grandchildren. And I love this church. I love this Gene family, all of them. They're just precious. And so thankful for Sister Teresa that takes care of me so well. And Brother Marcus, Sister Sarah, I love you. Thank you for your kind words today. Kind words are like ointment. They're like music to your soul. It's important to be kind to one another, isn't it? I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about saying something that's true, that's nice to someone. You have the most wonderful ministry team here. If I start calling all their names, I'll miss somebody, but I know them, and I love them, and I thank them for what they do here, these anointed men and ladies here in this church. I've known Brother Tommy back there for at least probably since about 2015, maybe. That's quite a little while. Sister Marcy, even longer. And so the Lord orchestrated it, so we're here. Brother Tommy comes from our home church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Isn't that amazing how God connects people? And I spoke a word of faith over both of them. They did not know each other. They were in different places. I was ministering in those two places, and I spoke a word of faith over them several years ago. I am saying that to remind you that just because it hasn't happened yet, whatever it is you're waiting for, if the Lord said it, it will come to pass. If he said he'd heal you, he will. If he said he'd provide it, he will. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't. Amen? I'm so happy to be here today, and we're going to turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read 2 verses 13 and 14. If you'll stand to honor the word, I know you just got settled in. That's how we roll. We're in America. You go into foreign countries, they stand up through the whole service. Sometimes they don't even have chairs. So you're going to get to sit here in just a minute, okay? Thank you for standing with me. Philippians 3, 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Today, for your hearing, a message the Lord gave me and spoke to me to bring to you today. Get off of the devil's Ferris wheel. Get off of the devil's Ferris wheel. You may be seated. Paul was writing here that he's not yet apprehended. Well, if he hadn't gotten there yet, you and I probably aren't either. But he did brag on himself a little bit. He said, "Now this one thing I do." So in other words, I haven't gotten it all together yet, but this one thing, I have conquered this. He went on to say, putting those things behind me that are in the past, moving forward, not remembering those things anymore, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen? He went on to say, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." That word prize translates in the Greek to mean an abundant kind of life. The prize is a God kind of life. This is family month. You've heard a lot about gathering together, about fellowshipping, a lot of good things this month about the family unit. This is a family service today. But I want to tell you, you will not be successful in fellowshipping and loving one another and winning the world until you get yourself right with God and where you're not constantly stuck on some Ferris wheel going around and around the same cycles over and over. And he said he would be more than enough. Every song today talked about the blood. He said he would cover it. He's our wonderful counselor. If we will pray, he'll meet us there and he'll make us whole. You can't love others if you don't love yourself. The world snatched that self-love thing away from the church, and we have hesitated in past few years even using that. But I'm not afraid to use it in the context of Scripture, that you ought to love yourself because he died for you, because he made you worthy. It's not about what we have within ourselves or how great we think we are. No, it's about what he did. Our identity, our self-esteem comes from being a child of God. Hallelujah. Because that's something no one can take away. If I find myself on the flat of my back in a hospital hooked up to all kinds of machinery and I can't see anything but the ceiling, I better hope that by that place in life, my self-esteem is not in traveling and ministering the word. That my self-esteem hasn't come, and I've been enjoying praying people through to the Holy Ghost, and that's where I got my love, self-love and my self-esteem. I think I'm great as long as I'm, you know, as long as God's using me, then I'm okay, but I don't like any other part of me. That's not the way this thing works. You can get your self-esteem from your job, from your children, from your spouse, from your golf score, from how many fish you caught. You can get it from anything. The Lord wants us to understand that our identity comes from being a child of God. So if I'm flat on my back in the hospital, I know who I am. I'm still his girl. I'm blood bought. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. And nothing can change that. Nothing, no circumstance can change that. Isn't that awesome? Wow, that's not even what I'm talking about today. That was so good. Thank you, Jesus. That helped me. Get off the devil's Ferris wheel. I'm going to talk about, of course, a story. You know by now how I minister. I've often prayed and said, Lord, why'd you let so much stuff happen to me? Because that's the only way I could use you to minister. That's the way I chose to use you. So lots and lots of stuff has happened to me. Now, what I'm really having issues with is now that I'm 63 years old, I think I got enough stories. And I keep having this conversation with the Lord. Why do things still keep happening? How much longer do you need these stories, Lord? Amen? Don't be afraid to share your testimony. It'll help somebody else. And I pray that this reaches way down inside of us today and gets a hold of something we need to hear. Amen? Something that's going to live on, that's going to help us. This story came to me in the wee hours of the morning. I was awakened. The presence of the Lord was in the room. This was several years back, and the details of this story started coming to me, and I was remembering a five-year-old memory. That's about the time you start remembering things. Unless it was traumatic, you really don't remember much over five. But five and traumatic was still there, and the Lord brought it to light into my remembrance. But as soon as it was the right time to call, early in the morning, I called my mother. And I said, Mom, the Lord just brought this story back to my mind. I need you to help me. I don't want to tell it wrong. Help me fill in the details. And so what I'm delivering you to you today, my mom was the eyewitness to it all and helped me to remember. It was a Saturday morning. My dad came and sat on the side of the bed. He said, Vicky Joe, get up. That's my middle name. You can't call me that. He said, Vicky Joe, get up. Go get some eggs and bacon and toast with jelly. We're going to spend the day together. And that was a treat because Daddy worked two jobs. So Mama could stay home with us girls, and he worked all the time. He worked a job during the day working for Parks and Recreation in the city of Columbus, and then he worked driving a wrecker from a gas station at night. And so sometimes Mama just let us stay up just to kiss him goodnight at 10 o'clock. That was the kind of lifestyle we had in the home. I was enamored with my dad. I loved my dad. And so this day was going to be a special day. We're gonna spend the day together. And so I got ready quickly, and we ate breakfast, and we got in the car. And that was back in the day. You probably heard me talk about it before because I love to reminisce this. That was back in the day where you stood in the middle of the front seat with your arm around your dad's neck, looking right in his ear, just talking his ear off. And you know, there were no seatbelts. We used to drink out of the garden hose. Mom didn't want us to mess up the floor. Once we went out, if we ran in and out, we had to stay in. So we didn't come back in. And we just turned on the hose, drank out of the hose. We didn't know all that mold and stuff was in there. And look, we lived and survived. Isn't that amazing? And then in that car, you know, we didn't, most people couldn't afford air-conditioned cars. And that back, they called it the back glass. It had a carpeting up there. And boy, you could take, when you was a kid, the best nap. It was warm up there. You crawled up there with all the dead flies. And you know it's the truth. And you'd get the best nap up there in the back glass. Nobody worried about you being thrown from the car. You know, it was so innocent. I'm standing in that front seat, my arm around Daddy's neck. Where are we going, Daddy? What are we going to do? The excitement. I'm thankful for a good daddy because that gave me a glimpse of what my relationship would one day be with the Lord. I'm still standing and talking in the ear of Jesus and saying, what are we going to do today, Jesus? Where are we going to go? What exciting thing we're going to get involved in today? And so we pulled into a parking lot, and it was a fair. I'd never been to a fair that I could recall anyway. I never, before that time, that was the first time. It was the first time I saw the Ferris wheel going around and around in the sky. I said, are you kidding? This is where we're going? I want to ride that, Dad, that big round circle. I want to ride that. He said, that's called a Ferris wheel. We'll ride everything. Just simmer down. I jumped out of that car when he pulled in the parking spot. He was up close to the door, and before he could get out of the car, I jumped out of the car and ran. Now, my dad was 52 with a 5-year-old. And he had a 5-year-old that had attention deficit disorder with hyperactivity. I still got that. Thank the Lord. I ran. I was through that gate and standing in line when he got there. He was not happy. He's motioning for me. Come out of that line. I already had people behind me. I said, no, come on, Dad. I got our place in line. We're going to ride that. He got me out of that line. He ducked me under the post, and he took my little hand in his hand, and he said, don't get ahead of me. Stay with me. Things don't work out when you get ahead of the Lord. They don't. Look at some of these older people here, and they'll tell you, I made some big messes because I got ahead of God. If I just waited on the Lord, it would have all worked out, but I got impatient. Walk beside him. Don't get ahead of him. I wasn't happy. I especially wasn't happy because Dad is pulling me away from the rides. Here's all the games and the food and the rides, and my dad's walking me away. And the whole time I'm chattering, what in the world is going on? I don't want to go over there. I don't go here, Dad. My dad gets me over to a line that is really long. We get in that line, and I'm trying to figure out as a 5-year-old what's going on here. I look around all the people, and there's a little white house. It's got a man in it that looks like he hates children. I don't want to go to that little white house and see the man that hates children. I can't understand what's going on. My dad won't let go of my hand. I can't run anywhere. And it's taking forever. It seems like it's forever. But see, Dad knows something I don't know. When it's taking forever, it's because he's doing his best work. It's going to be worth the long line. Just wait on the Lord. We got up to that little window, and I was so relieved when that old gentleman in there smiled real big, said, how are you today? There was nothing to fear after all. My dad had a plan. My dad took out money, and he laid it up on the counter. He said, give me as many tickets as I can get for that amount of money. That's how you bought stuff back then. Remember, some of you people with white hair, you went to the, or no hair. Sorry. You went to the candy store and you plunked down a quarter. And you left there with 25 pieces of candy. Remember that? Those were the days. Little brown bag. My dad would give me 2 quarters. I'd leave with 50 pieces of candy, and I'd eat them all before the day was over. And so the man started counting out something I'd never seen before. He took my dad's money, and he just started counting, and he's pulling off something, these little things, white things that say, admit one. I can't even read. I'm just 5 at that point. Now 5-year-olds read. We didn't read till we were 7. We turned out fine. And so I watched, and my dad, when the man put him through there, my dad started to grab him, and I grabbed him. I said, I want to carry him. I want to hold him. He said, no, you won't. He took him out of my hand, and he folded him very carefully. I watched my dad. It was like they were very important. And he put him in his shirt pocket right next to his heart. Why? Because he knew what it was. He knew the value of the ticket. Because you're not going to ride rides without a ticket. And there's fixing to be one final ride, friend of mine, that's going to be more exciting than any roller coaster you ever got on. And if you don't have a ticket, you're not going. You got to know the value of the ticket. If you're sitting here today and you have not been born again of water and spirit, you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, not filled with his spirit, speaking with other tongues, then you don't have a ticket. My dad didn't want me to carry it because I might lose it in a mud puddle. I might drop all of them on the ground. Some of you don't know where your ticket is. You're at church, but it's in a drawer somewhere back when you got it because you haven't talked in tongues since. Because nothing's changed in your life. Because you're still going around and around. Around and around. Oh, you got a ticket, so you're lulled to sleep. Well, I did what, you know, Pastor said. The Bible says to be baptized in Jesus' name. The only way anybody was ever baptized, and I've done that. And then I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, back in 2012, I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm here. Well, and I'm putting my tithe and offering in too. That won't get you to heaven. That won't get you. You say, all of that won't. No, you got to live it day in and day out. It's a trick of the enemy for you to lose your ticket, for you to drop it in a mud puddle, for you to stick it in the back of a drawer. It's time for the church to come alive and win our world and to fellowship one with another, to work as one body, to win our world in this last hour. We're not going to help anybody else until we know our ticket is secure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you stuck on today? Are you stuck on worldly amusements? Is there a sin in your life you've not been able to give up? Are you stuck with some preconceived idea about God? Are you stuck because you're blaming God for something that happened in your life? Are you stuck because your grandma didn't do it that way? And if you do it that way, you're saying grandma didn't make it? No, you got to leave grandma in the capable, loving hands of God. But you got to get this for yourself. This is not something grandma can do for you or grandpa or mom or dad. You got to have your own ticket. Hallelujah. We walked away from that ticket booth and I realized, wow, I'm glad we went to that ticket booth. Dad had to get those tickets first. I didn't know we had to have a ticket. People don't want to come to the altar. I've been coming here a long time. Some of you people I never prayed for. I think today I'll give the altar call back there. Maybe I'll catch you before you run out the door. That's a problem if you're afraid to be prayed for. If you run from the evangelist, from the pastor, that's a problem. I don't care if you sit back here, that's okay. Not everybody can sit up front. There wouldn't be enough seats. I'm not saying it's bad to sit in the back. I'm just saying if you don't ever make your way up there, that's wrong. There's something wrong. Oh, that didn't go over well. I should have said that up there. I'm gonna chase you down today. Because I love you. We gotta make sure we got a ticket. We're not going to heaven without a ticket. Hallelujah. We got to pray through. We got those tickets and I was already on the run back to the Ferris wheel. Come on, Dad. Come on. We're going to ride it. He got in line with me and I'm excited and I'm swinging on the handrails and he's pulling me off the handrails and waiting in line for a while with a child is really difficult, and he's keeping his patience with me. And finally, he says, now, three more people. Once three more people go around and around five times, it'll be our turn. And it came. It was our turn. He said, now, listen here. When they bring that cart up to that red mat, you step up on that red mat and I will lift you up on the seat. It's going to come around behind you and you can't do that by yourself. So I'm going to help you. I almost can't do it by myself now. It's still moving. It's a little overwhelming. That seat comes around behind you and you got to hop up on that seat. Well, Daddy put me up on the seat, and we start going this way, and then it stops, and a man comes up, and he puts his hand out like that. Well, I'm raised in church. I thought he was praising the Lord with my dad. But my dad knew what he wanted. He said, I need your tickets. Two tickets for each one of us. You know, in that moment, it wouldn't have been good enough for me to say, well, I've been a real good girl. I can ride because I'm good. I'm in church every week. Well, I want to ride because my dad's riding. My dad has a ticket, so I can ride because he's riding. You know your parents can't worship for you? I'm always astounded at all the young people that go to NAYC and jump straight up and down and talk in tongues and cry their socks off and get in the spirit. And when they come home to the home church, I know none of you do this, they sit like a bump on a log. Do you think there's more Jesus there than there is here because there's more people? I don't even know what made me say that. I was kind of mean. We shouldn't just worship when we're in certain places. He's the same God everywhere. Your parents can't worship for you. When that music's playing, get up on your feet. Lift your hands up. Talk in tongues. Act like you love Jesus until it hits you. When the Holy Ghost hits you, you'll be glad you got up. Hallelujah. Some of these old people back here would be glad if you would start doing some of the worship they used to do. I tell people everywhere I go, would you start worshiping for me? I can't jump anymore. I tried to jump a while back, and I realized for the first time, I can't get my feet up off the floor. My jumper's broken. Happens. I used to run on the aisles. I'd run around the church. What a sight. The Holy Ghost had hit me. I wasn't running and smiling and waving like some people do. Oh, no, my pastor said, you want to run, kids, you talk in tongues first. Once you're talking in tongues, take off running. And boy, I'd get in the spirit, talk in tongues, and start running around the church. I used to be one of the runners. You can imagine. Now, I don't run unless something's chasing me. I need you to run for me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still worth sweating over. He's still worth running for. He's still worth jumping for. He's still worth getting on your feet for. It's the same blood. It's the same cross. We need to stir up something within us and say, you know what? He's worthy. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. Oh, Raboshataya Raboshaha. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I might run today. So my dad pulled off those tickets and he handed them to the man. The man took the tickets and the car started moving. And it's moving forward. And we're getting ready to go up. And here comes another man. Because he's got an important job. That man pulls down a big safety bar. And locks it in. And reaches under and shakes it to make sure it won't move. So I wouldn't fall out. Some of you fall out of church because you don't want the pastor to give you a safety bar. There's so many churches now that if I just get sideways with one little thing pastor says, I can go find me another church. Now you didn't do that because you're here. But I'm just telling you so you won't do it. Some gets on your toes than it needed to. Something bothers you when you leave. It needed to. If you get mad at me today, then you needed to. Because you got to have people that will pull down that bar and lock it in and say, I'm going to help you get all the way to heaven. This ride called life is going to be wild, honey. And you got to have that bar locked in to keep you safe so you won't fall out. You won't fall away from the Lord. Oh, shatayara bokoshoto. And now here we go. Me and Daddy, we're going higher and higher. I remember feeling so excited. I looked out and here's all these little teeny tiny people down there. It was a big Ferris wheel. Oh, and we could see the tops of the trees. Here's just me and Daddy. I looked over and Dad was just smiling real big and laughing. He was always so careworn from all the work, hard work. But that day, it was him and his little girl. And he's laughing, and I'm laughing, you know, and then you get to the top, and you have that little bit of a drop, nothing like a roller coaster, just a little drop, and we start drop, and your stomach flies up in your throat. Oh, it feels great. You're never closer to the Lord than on the top of a roller coaster. That's when you're the closest to the Lord. You know why? Because you see that last hill. You thought the one before was the last one. Then it chugs up that hill. And you see the drop that goes straight down, and you're sitting on top of there, and you're repenting. Lord, I'm so sorry for everything I've ever done. I'm sorry for riding this stupid ride. If I get off of here safe, I'll never ride again. Please forgive me. You know it's the truth. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one that's in the dark at Disney, there's a big one, the Beast. There was one called the Beast at Kings Island. Oh, my. I love to ride them all. Yeah, that's probably why I have neck problems today. Yeah, because, you know, your stomach comes up in your mouth and you think you're going to lose it, and then it jumps back down real quick. Feels great. So here we are, going around and around. You know, when you get on a ride, you know how it's like. Those of you that are daredevils and you ride rides, you don't want anybody to know around you, but you're kind of glancing at the cables and the bolts. Wonder who inspected this thing. Sure hope it wasn't him. You're kind of looking around. You're smiling, pretending you're having fun, but at the same time, you're kind of looking around. Hope this thing was inspected. Well, we're going around. We're laughing. We're having the time of our life. It's just like when you first get the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. Your heart's washed clean. You're walking with the Lord, and you're just going around and around. Jesus is sitting right beside you. And it just can't get any better than that. That's what it's like. And it was just me and Dad going around and around. We're laughing, having a great time. And then we hear a noise. We hear a noise you do not want to hear. It was not the snapping of a cable, the loosening of bolts or chains, no. It was another noise, a noise that a person should only hear when they're by themselves in a restroom. I'm going to try to be gentle, but not everybody can ride rides, they said among us, that it throws your equilibrium off. It ruins your whole day, and you had to learn somehow. Some of you just learned in an elevator. Other of you got on these kind of things, and you found out real quick. And it's going to ruin my whole day if I do this, so you don't do it anymore. That's smart. Yeah. We're having the time of our life. When I hear a noise. Now, when you hear a noise, it's human nature to turn toward the noise. And so Daddy and I both whip our heads up like this. And here it comes. There's a little girl above us sitting with her grandmother. And it comes flying through the air. You'll be all right. Think about happy things for a minute. You'll be fine. It comes flying through the air down into my hair, my pigtail. I have my hair in pigtails. Came into my pigtail and down the front of my white T-shirt. My dad had his hand over my little hand on the bar, the security bar. And it was all over my dad's hairy arm. That was the worst. I am screaming at the top of my lungs, as loud as a little girl can scream. I am losing my mind. And we are still going around and around. And I have to remember all the times in life where everything was going just great. I mean, things where it couldn't be any better. And Jesus was sitting right next to me on the seat, and everything was good. And out of nowhere came something absolutely horrid, horrible, something I didn't think I could bear, I couldn't walk through. And I reacted the same way. Even though he's sitting right beside us, I screamed, I shrieked, I cried, "Where are you, God? Why? What in the world?" Forgetting that he's right there. He never left. My dad pulled out a big bandana handkerchief. And he said, "Now, baby, just stop screaming. Stop screaming. Come on. Daddy's going to, we're going to clean you up. You're going to be okay." He started wiping that off my face and off my little white T-shirt and wiping it out of my pigtail. He started wiping his arm. He had that old bandana all wadded up. He'd done the best he could. He said, "Now, we're going to get off here. We're going to get cleaned up. Everything's okay. Everything's going to be all right." I'm here to tell somebody today everything's going to be all right. He's got you. He's got you. It looks pretty bad right now, but everything's going to be all right. He's working. We're going around and around and around. Finally, it starts stopping. Dad says, "Now see, we're going to get off of here. See the people walking? They're getting off of here. We're going to get off. Finally, we're going to be the very next ones." Here goes the little girl and her grandma. The little girl's holding her tummy, and grandma's so mad at herself, you know, that she took the little girl on there and that she fed her chili dogs beforehand. I knew that would bless you. Yeah, yeah, and grandma's walking with her and has her arm around her. And, you know, I've often thought, wouldn't it be really dumb if I had looked at that little girl walking away? You know, she's walking down that midway, and I looked down at her and I said, I hate her. She put her yuck on me, and I'm never going to forgive her for that. So, well, she's a little girl. She was hurting. That would be really silly for me to hold that against her forever. Hurting people hurt other people. So the person that's got you held hostage that doesn't even know it, and you're still going around and around with somebody else's abuse, neglect, molestation, brokenness, mean words, whatever on you, I'm here to tell you today's the day to get off the devil's Ferris wheel. To forgive, to release, to let go, to do it again and again until it's gone. Because you're going to have somebody's yuck on you in one form or another. Sometimes it's just a look or a word. You let it go right then. Release yourself from it. Forgive and release. Don't let it hold you hostage. So here we are. We're going to get off. Why don't you come and play the keyboard and give them some hope? I'm bringing it to a close. There we were, and Daddy's comforting me. And sure enough, the little girl and her grandma get off, and then the next one, and then we're next. And when our car comes to stop, the man's not there. The man's not there. And our car goes right back up again. And by the time we can see, the man is locking that ride and walking into the midway. It stopped one seat from the top. There we are in the hot sun with somebody else's yuck all over us. And the man left. Now my dad's screaming. And no matter how loud we screamed and yelled until we were hoarse, no one heard. You know why? Down there in the world, step right up, $5 for $2, cotton candy. That's what was going on down there. One big party. The world can't save you. They can't help you. If you're going to go to a counselor, and I'm all for it, you better make sure they're spirit-filled. Because they're going to tell you all kinds of hocus pocus if they're not spirit-filled. Oh, yes. You need help to get off that roller coaster of sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent. Today's the day. Today is the day. It happens right up here in a place we call the altar. It's not really scary. You might think it is. But it's where we've all come. My daddy and I sat up there. I verified with my mom. She said it was 30 to 45 minutes you were up there. You were sunburned. Dad tried to flag everybody down that went by. Nobody could hear. And finally, my dad said, we're not sitting here any longer. I want you to listen to me. This is what I want you to do. He said, you see those cross beams that go all the way down to the ground? Yes, Daddy. He said, it's like a ladder. Not really. He said, I'm going to climb down that. I said, Daddy, don't leave me. You can't leave me up here. He said, oh, I would never leave you. I would never leave you nor forsake you. You get the Holy Ghost, you take on His name in baptism, you're never alone again. Lonely is not in your life ever again. No, I won't leave you. But listen here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to scoot all the way to the end of this seat, and I'm going to throw my body over to that crossbeam and grab a hold of it. And you're going to scoot all the way to the end of our seat, and I'm going to have one hand on you. And you're going to stand up on the seat. Yeah, and it's going to move, but my hand is on you. And you're going to take your little arms and you're going to jump into my arms. You're going to throw your little arms around my neck and just bunch up my shirt in the back. Throw your little legs around Daddy's waist. And the most important part is lay your head right on Daddy's chest. And don't look down. Don't look down. Just trust me. The Lord's talking to somebody today. Will you trust Him? Get your head right there on His chest. That's where you can hear His heartbeat. It's where you'll find out what He wants, what He's doing. I simply had to say, I'm scared, Daddy, but I will. I don't know how many times I've had to look to heaven in prayer and say, I'm scared, but I will. But I will. I scooted over to the end of that seat. I jumped into my daddy's arms. I held on for dear life, buried my face in his shirt. While my daddy that loved me beyond belief carried me. A 52-year-old man carried a 5-year-old down that cross beam, not meant for people to climb, support beam. When we got to the ground, we were both weeping. He was holding me and we were both crying and shaking. I have to believe that when we walk through these rough times in life, that we have a Jesus that's moved with compassion. And while you're weeping, He's weeping. He's holding you. Put our feet on the ground and Daddy said, now, we're going to go find the restroom. I said, Daddy, after we get cleaned up now, we can ride the Ferris wheel again when they get it all cleaned up, right? The beauty of a child. That's why He said, except you become a child, you'll not enter in. Just ready to move right on there. That's what children do. Dad took me over to a table and he said, now you see, this table, they have gifts and things there. And I was never allowed to go to that little table before because the swords were $25, the magic wands and the swords. But today he said, we're going to that table. And I want you to pick out a little shirt. The lady's going to help you, a size 5. I picked out a pink Mickey Mouse shirt. And he said, now, I want you to take that in that restroom right there. I'll be standing right here when you come out. I'm going to go in the men's restroom, but I'll be standing right here. And I want you to go in that restroom. And I want you to put your hair down in the sink and wash that out of your hair. And wash your arms and hands with soap real good. And then go in that restroom and lock the door and take off that old garment. Put on your new garment, your new shirt. I said, but this one's my favorite. I wore my favorite one today, Dad. I can take it home and Mom can wash it, right? He said, no, throw it away. Some people are caught in a cycle because you won't throw your old garments away. Get rid of them. He died for you. He bought you a new garment. You can't go back on Monday and slip on the old garment and expect to live for God. I came out grinning with my pigtail dripping, big smile on my face and my new garment on. Daddy, I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. Can we have a corn dog and a lemon shake-up? And I want to ride all the rides, especially the spider and the tilt-a-whirl. And I want to ride the Ferris wheel again when they get it cleaned up. And Dad, I'm ready to go play a game because I want to win a stuffed animal. And my dad said, come with me. Sometimes the Lord just doesn't talk a lot. We talk a lot. Sometimes we talk so much He can't get a word in edgewise. When He's quiet, He's doing His best work. You think He's been quiet so long and you're not getting an answer, it's because He's doing His best work. And Dad took me by the hand, and he led me away from all those things I wanted to do. He had me by the hand, and we're walking. And the whole time, I'm just chattering. But Dad, the tilt-a-whirl's world's that way, and the spider, I want to ride that too. And the bumper cars, I want to bump you, Dad. I want you to be in one car, me in the other, and I want to ride those. And the whole time, he's walking me away from everything. My little girl's heart started to drop and the tears in my eyes. I was afraid to ask because I could see the car. We were walking toward the parking lot where we left the car. And so I'm holding his hand and the tears are starting to flow. And I'm not saying anything, but I've got my daddy's hand. And he walks me to the gate and I see the car and I realize that we're going home. The whole day's ruined. And my dad got me to that gate. And he took my little shoulders and he turned me around and he said, "Baby, we're starting this day all over." And I woke up with this story in the middle of the night. That's the place the Lord started me at. Baby, we're starting this day all over. I'm here to tell somebody it's time to get off the devil's Ferris wheel. Baby, it's time to start all over. You got a brand new day. There's brand new mercy every morning. He's here. In a few moments, he'll deliver you. He'll set you free. He'll wash you clean. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Oh, shatayara bokoraba. So, let's just start this day over. In 39 years of full-time ministry, I've seen so many people that just made up their mind. I'm going to start all over. Some of us have done it multiple times. It's okay. But just get back up. Get the devil's yuck all off of you. Get in an altar and lift your hands. It's just that simple. And say, "Lord, I want to be whole. I want to be whole in you. I want my self-esteem to come from you. I want to get off the cycles that I'm going to pass down to my children and my grandchildren. I want the generational curses to be broken at the foot of the cross so my kids don't suffer like I have. My grandkids don't suffer like I have." Would you stand to your feet? I feel so strong. It's time for the altar call. And I'm going to call the altar call this way. If you have never spoken with other tongues, man, woman, child, you want it today. That's all you have to do is want it. If you'll come right up here in the middle, I'll know who you are. And in a few moments, Jesus will move in your heart. But then we have two sides here. We have aisleways. I want everyone to find a place before you leave to pray. And lift your hands and close your eyes and make a fresh commitment on this family Sunday. "Lord, I'm going to do better. I'm going to get off the cycles of things that I've done for years that are not pleasing to you." I just had a pastor call me just last evening, and he calls me Mama Vernon. He said, "Mama, I got to tell you something." He was preaching a very big event last night, and I was covering him with prayer. And he said, "Mama Vernon, I have to tell you something. The Lord told me to do something 6 months ago, and I didn't do it. And I felt like I was, the anointing was being squelched. I wasn't feeling what I needed to feel. It wasn't wide open. I didn't feel that great flow of the Spirit, and I ignored what the Lord told me. The Lord told me to get off YouTube." Now, some of you are going to hate that. I'm just repeating what the man told me, okay? The Lord told me, get off YouTube. He said, not just get off of it, but get rid of the app. Stay off of it. He said, and you know what? When I came to this place to preach, I got in the room to pray, and the Lord reminded me, "I told you to get off of that." He said, "I deleted it. I got off of it. I repented. I made a fresh commitment." He said, "You will not believe what happened in the service tonight." He got off of a cycle. The devil had him going round and around. Too much time. Maybe it's not sin. He wasn't sinning. It was the time. The time. You can be on there and not know it 2 hours. What kind of cycle are you stuck in that's keeping you from really feeling Jesus and winning your world, whoever's around you? You're going to play and sing, and I want you to come. Please come. Youth, step forward. You're already here. Bring your children. Bring your families. As they begin to sing, come on, this should be full by now. No one should have to beg anybody to come. We should want to come to the altar. We need you, Lord. We need you.